Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, let's make a rock record.
Everybody quiet.
Deep Purple are bona fide rock legends. Alongside Black Sabbath and Led Zeppelin, they defined hard rock and created heavy metal. Now, almost 50 years after they first took to the stage, they're recording their 20th and possibly their last studio album. We've been given exclusive access as they write, record and play in Nashville.
I used to be an angry young man, and now I'm fucking furious again. It's amazing.
This is a group of impeccable, amazing musicians.
We'll be playing the Wailers. Oh,
God. It's happening.
Yeah.
We'll fail again and rise again until the death, until the death of time.
With its range of heavy riffs, rock and roll tunes and epic tracks, Purple are hoping the album will recapture past glories.
There is something I can tell you, that this is the finest album that's ever been made in the history of recorded music.
December 2015, and Deep Purple arrive for the last gig of yet another massive world tour.
If you don't have a pass on, mate, you can't get in.
Almost 18,000 fans are packed into London's O2 Arena.
Hey guys.
To see one of the world's most successful rock bands.
Hey, how are you doing, mate? All right.
The band may all be in their late 60s, or in the case of singer Ian Gillan and bassist Roger Glover, their early 70s, but there's no let-up in the pace. Deep Purple are one of the most influential rock bands on the planet, but they refuse to rest on their laurels. They work by a simple yet solid set of rules: never follow in your own footsteps, never do what's expected, and always put on a great show.
Deep Purple was the best thing that ever happened to me professionally in my life. And it's more than professional too, it's a family.
It's quite something. It makes you think, what is it? What is so compelling about this music? I don't really know, but it compels me and always has.
There are many times I get back from doing a gig and all the sound and the lights are still in my head. And close the hotel room door and I stand there and go, how the fuck did I get here? Still amazes me.
We're a stage of our lives now where we've got to have fun. All the time, just have fun. Not crazy fun, just fun that makes us happy. And if you make a few thousand people happy every night with you, that ain't so bad.
Rock and roll is sort of definitely in our blood. I think it's the best way to reach people's soul.
It's fantastic. I love it.
What are you going to do now? Because how'd you get down after that high?
I'm saving this one. Can I hang on to this for a week or so?
The echoes of the London gig barely have time to fade before Purple need to get into the rehearsal studio to write their next album. Nashville, Tennessee, Music City. It's home to some of the great American music legends, and it draws artists from across the globe like a magnet. Among them, Deep Purple. Their first stop is Soundcheck Studios on the outskirts of town, where they're booked into a rehearsal room to compose the album.
Albums are old hat, they're old-fashioned. People now put out EPs or a single song. But to me, we are and always have been an album band. And albums, I think, are important to us and to fans as a kind of a snapshot of the state of the band at that particular time.
Just because you go in the studio and you put 10, 11 ideas together and make them into songs doesn't mean to say they're actually very good. You know, you try, you do your best. But if we feel we've got ideas which are valid and worth people listening to, then you got her out.
Why are we doing this? Obviously, there's no, you know, it's not going to feed anybody's family. And it's part of, I don't know, it's like, why do people paint when they're sitting, when they see a view of the mums, you know? Because it's beautiful, you know, they want to make something that inspired by that beauty, you know.
Deep Purple is primarily an instrumental band, so I just basically sit and watch. I'm appreciating it and absorbing it, but I'm not consciously beginning any writing process. No, just soaking it up and enjoying it, just as a fan.
If it's old-fashioned, so be it. We don't actually give a shit.
Overseeing everything is veteran producer Bob Ezrin. His CV includes Pink Floyd's The Wall, as well as classic albums for Alice Cooper, Peter Gabriel, Lou Reed, and many more.
I don't know what else there is.
Right. So, a thought. When we get to the solos, I think we should take a little more time. I mean, I think they're for me, too short. And they start off too, I mean, it's got to start more melodic and then work its way up to being more rhythmical. I think when his solo's on, when we're doing the guitar, I would go to a ride and be more jazzy, like get out of that Tony Thompson thing for a second.
Yeah.
And then when he goes, then it's like total Tony Thompson, like doom, doom, deck up, boom, boom, bop, boom, boom, back up, boom, boom, back up, boom, boom, just really like this, and let him just take off. But you have to, that means, Steve, you can't start at 100 miles an hour, right? You have to start slowly and work your way up.
Let's just take 95.
Let's just take our time with it. It's really, it's a fun pocket.
Bob's kept the whip cracking. He's fine-tuned, knocked a lot of rough edges off. The best sound, for me, that Deep Purple has ever had. Head and shoulders above anything we've ever done before.
You don't need to go straight to... You're already at double time. This is... Like, slow. Take your time.
Bob isn't just a producer. He's a great musician, and he's a writer. And he has a great overview of songs.
You know, part of the thing of working with people that are as experienced as these guys are and that have been doing this for such a long time is, first of all, we have to establish a trust and we have to establish a kind of a common ground of communication. And it begins, actually, with me and my respect for them.
He's not scared of saying, no, that's no good, don't like it.
it's the respect we have for him to know that if he does, you know, stick his oar in, there's a valid reason for the fact that he's not getting something, or he thinks that something is not as good as it should be.